Ladies and gentle nerds, welcome back to the Nerdcast. It is episode 12.
Ooh, gentle nerds.
I was going to say, what about the lady nerds?
I said ladies and gentle nerds.
You said no, but why don't you give them a little lady nerds?
Lady nerds and gentle nerds, welcome back to the Nerdcast. It is episode 12, as we are here in the middle of December. As you notice, immediately out the gate, it's a little bit quieter today. The rest of us will get a chance to talk as we are missing our dear friend, Tyler. I believe I introduced him as the all-around nerd last week, I think. But we do have
he
on the couch.
He did his best to live up to that title, too.
And on the couches, or I'm sorry, in the studio, we have...
little column A, little column B.
We have Aaron Lay, the cosplayer extraordinaire.
Ah.
2 weeks in a row introduced first.
Wow.
Special.
Whoa, me and Bob are on the same wavelength tonight.
I was going to say, giving back my brain.
Bob Garrett, the frequent watcher of A Life in Dirty Movies.
Mm-hmm.
I said frequent. I meant to say recent, but that did sound a little
dirty.
Did you
do that on purpose?
That was a Freudian slip.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I meant to do a double feature of that and Nymphomaniac.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
volumes 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Oh, that's a lot of movie.
That's a lot of...
And because I appreciate this nickname so much for him... because I gave it to him. The video game vixen, Mr. Adam Adair. And your generous and handsome host.
Humble, too. Don't forget the humble part.
And I'm humble. Iggy Mishniaki. We are here, episode 12. I've gotten it right 2 weeks in a row without having to rethink it. My memory's coming back to me. I don't know what it is. Must be that time of year. Must be all the sweets fattening up, refattening that brain, I guess.
You've been depriving them of sugar.
Mm-hmm. It's fattening around it, so not enough stuff is escaping because it's just building this layer of fat, so all the memory stays in there now.
Sugar peanuts.
I don't think that's how that works.
It's how it works. Right. It's kind of the theory, too, of like, why do you drink? Drinking kills brain cells. Well, the weakest brain cells go first, so I'm just making my brain stronger, right?
I'll buy that.
Okay.
I'm sure.
You're on board with that one?
Yeah. I'm Irish. I'm going to be on board with that one.
So before we started recording, and speaking of... consumption of harmful substances. We were talking about James Franco was on Howard Stern Monday morning talking about the fact that he doesn't smoke weed. I think Adam alluded to...
I'll buy that, yeah.
Well, not only that you've heard that before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It's believable, although he does pull off one heck of a pothead.
I would say, Pineapple Express. Yeah,
he's got pothead friends, man.
The next thing you'll hear is Jim Brewer doesn't smoke weed. Just kidding, guys.
I don't think he does.
What, Jim Brewer?
He has like an eye issue that makes his eyelids droop so that he looks like he's stoned all the time, which lends itself well to playing a stoner.
Jim Brewer is openly a
pothead. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, I just pulled that out of my ass, I guess.
Whoa.
No, there's that guy that you guys used to know who looked just like Jim Brewer, who actually did have a condition where his eyes were like that, and everybody thought he was high all the time.
No,
and
Jim Brewer.
No, up.
Jim Brewer has said before that he's like, no, he just looks like this. He's like, I'm not high all the
right.
time.
Not
he's
all
like,
the
yeah,
time,
I'm
but
not
I do shite. Smoke. Right.
I'm getting the world mixed up. The celebrity.
Are
world
you high
is
right
mixed.
Now?
Yep. That's it.
So, Seth Rogen obviously is very and also public about it.
In
his speech to Congress even about Alzheimer's.
Right.
He didn't even stray away from it. But I guess his good friend and
cohort.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. For a movie that is also catching waves, which this will be a perfect segue.
Oh, we were doing so good.
Segue.
Are you playing an invisible timpani right now?
Yeah, I'm doing something bum, over bum, here.
He's doing bum, something bum, with
we
bum,
need
bums.
Video. But,
I was thinking maracas.
I want to talk because we
could
didn't.
Could you hear maracas?
Yeah, I heard
we
maracas.
Didn't talk about it last week, and it's something I need to talk about. The Sony hacks. Like, are we at the point of it's unbelievable yet? Because it's unbelievable to me. I don't even think this is a real thing.
I kind of agree. It's just so far out there. I mean, let's just find everybody's dirty laundry and just, you know, I'm sure everybody in Hollywood sends emails saying that Angelina is a spoiled brat and untalented.
Well, that part I believe.
Well, yeah, true. But, I mean, it's just, it's almost ridiculous.
Well, see, that's the thing, like... Initially, I was definitely in the mindset that, all right, this is for sure fake. This is definitely a ploy, basically free advertisement, you know, no such thing as bad press, all that kind of good stuff. And then the stuff started getting what seems like being really out there. Like, there's no way somebody actually said that. And then I stopped and I'm like, you know, actually there probably is a way that somebody said that. You work for a company like Sony, the mindset of I'm going to email my friend and there's no way IT is going to check all of these because, I mean, they just certainly can't. We're too big of a company. So this is going to go unchecked other than my friend's going to read it.
But
so, of course, I'm going to say, because they don't say who said all of these.
These are coming from higher ups, mostly.
Yeah, Amy Pascal.
Yeah,
I think is
almost all of it's from the person running the company.
So who's going to yell at her?
I don't know, but it's a good point what the CEO of Paramount said, in response to this, because they've asked the other CEOs of these companies, what do you think about this? And the Paramount's just like, I just always live my life under the assumption that emails are not private. That was their only comment on the subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is what's really difficult and makes you think that it's not real, because most of us email for our own jobs and we're extremely careful constantly because, you know, we worry about things. But how old is this Amy Pascal person?
She's probably in her 40s.
I don't worry about that stuff.
Is she only in her 40s?
She's fairly young.
And she's running Sony. First of all, and Tyler would be all over this if he was here, and I agree with him wholeheartedly on this. The first mistake Sony made has nothing to do with this hacks, but it was putting her in charge of that company.
Yeah.
The second part is the stuff we're talking about right now, the comments against Angelina Jolie, even the racist remarks against President Obama, the other things, like, that's believable. The stuff where they're losing me is the 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover.
Yeah,
but not even that. But it's one thing, okay, they're doing one crazy crossover. No, Sony has now supposedly alluded to, like, there's like five of them listed of these like crossover styles. And I'm wondering if there's if this is real, is it one code? Like, they're talking about a movie and they're speaking of it in code so people don't get a hold of it if it did get out. Or two, were they referring to, we want a movie that has the style of Men in Black and the comedy of 21 Jump Street, and
I thought they did already. Well, not just kind of the gross out comedy of 22 Jump Street, but I thought Men in Black was already a comedy.
Oh yeah, but right. I mean, like, are they want the young, like the young cops, the young two people from Men in Black that go in? But like, if you get the two people, Channing Tatum and
Jonah Hill
playing their same characters, and they end up in the Men in Black agency, like, really, now, come on. Like,
well, here's the thing that's just kind of making me think this is all one big old publicity stunt, is that they say they were going to stop doing this if Sony does not release the interview.
Yeah, and the rumors tied to that it being North Korea. Mm-hmm. Like, North Korea is able of hacking anything.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I don't understand what the publicity would be for. Is it for some nerd sitting in a basement who's trying to make Sony look bad? Who's trying? Because to me, I've never even read any of the things, because it just sounds like tabloid crap.
I don't know. Well, all you have to do is read the titles. Like, I don't read many of the articles.
I think Snowden's probably behind all
this. I see Sony hack, I stop reading after the two words.
I guess, what's your question? What do you mean?
Who does it benefit? What is the publicity for? Would Sony be putting this out?
I think it's...
Well, that's the question. There's a lot of questions of, is this fake? Is this a build-up to make it look like North Korea hacked them, leading into the interview that releases on Christmas Day, which North Korea is very publicly annoyed with not only Sony, but the United States about releasing a movie where two people have to go assassinate.
But they weren't worried about Team America, World Police, you know.
That was before the interweb was global.
Well, not even that.
So
that was
global.
You're talking a different leader at that time, too. You're talking...
His father or whatever.
Yeah, Kim Jong... I'm going to get all the
Kim
names.
Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, and then Kim Jong-un now is supposedly... It's funny,
well, he's
too,
a lot more tied into the world.
That's the thing. He's that younger generation connected.
He's internet savvy.
He's on the Twitters.
He has a computer with
trending
1 gigabyte of RAM.
Dual core processor.
Two floppy drives in this machine.
You guys better be careful. Seriously, I don't want him listening to this and getting a
really
nuclear weapon shot.
If we've got a reach to North Korea, first of all, if they shoot a nuclear weapon to Kansas,
to our house,
good job for wasting that money. If you have that capability to get it that far and you put it in Kansas.
Wrong Manhattan.
Yeah, you are an idiot even more. Which, actually, he kind of... So, well, now this is all playing out in my head. And it's actually... anyway, so that's the rumor of it being rumors or just a publicity stunt ties to that. The other side is that it was hacked by this agency that was just able to hack it because they were the easiest studio to get to. And the reason it's flying everywhere, who does that benefit, I guess, to answer your question, is all these, you mentioned it, all these tabloids. These aren't news sites anymore. CNN.com, FoxNews.com, even their TV stations, they're not news sites anymore. They're tabloids.
Yeah.
That's what they report on these days. And so it's just getting them clicks. Because even though you don't click on it, everybody else is clicking on it.
Right.
So it's one of those things. When people have turned to sites like Gawker and the Huffington Post for what they consider legitimate news, that's where the world went wrong. And those are the sites that are benefiting the most from this, because this is intertwined with also cases about the Ebola outbreak.
It's infotainment anymore.
Yeah, when a news agency's top story is about the Kardashians, you know you're watching crap.
AKA Sony. Oh, sorry.
Sony. Yes, we're not getting any Sony screeners.
I don't think we do, but anyways.
Oh, okay.
No, Sony, we like Sony movies. I like Men in Black.
Yeah, I like 22 Jump Street.
I'm wondering if you're saying, you know,
don't want them together.
So there are these outlandish ideas, and we're all kind of on the same mind that this is probably publicity and you know, well orchestrated and well done by Sony's PR department, and they deserve a raise if this is the case, because people have been talking about it nonstop for 2 weeks now. What if they're just putting out some feelers? Like, let's release some crazy things and see what the internet does with a Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover.
Yeah, people freak out about it. Let's write the script.
Right, does this take off? If this takes off, then yeah, let's make that movie. Like, it's the ultimate focus group.
Yeah.
Like, which put out a leaked information on the internet and
Huffington
see what happens.
Post as our focus group.
Right. Yeah. So, you just go to the comment section and see what people say about
comment
it.
Comment section, how many people have retweeted this?
Right, yeah.
Are we trending on right now on Twitter? Are we trending? Then right. Yeah, let's release that movie. That's a good
exactly.
point.
I mean, how easy would that be these days? Oh no, somebody leaked this idea we had for a movie and everybody hated it. So, obviously we were never going to make that movie. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
And then if everybody
it
loves
it.
It
was a joke, guys.
Right.
It
if everybody loves it, then all of a sudden it's, oh yeah, we had already greenlit that one. And we're talking to Spielberg and, you know, then you can run with it.
The thing that got me, it's like, I am not above thinking a studio would try to capitalize on two very successful franchises that way. However, now that it is one of like four or five that have been rumored to be like crossovers, unless they're planning like a whole year of just like crossovers, like this Marvel DC crossover,
it's
like this comic
Sony
book,
Civil
yeah,
War.
Yeah. Sony, like, unless they're planning that, like that's where I'm like, okay, by time now that I've read a fourth or fifth headline suggesting that there was emails exchanged about a crossover, it's like, okay, this isn't getting, but then that's where the other dilemma comes in. Cause then there are, whether they're real or not, that's the question. It's hard to release fake Social Security numbers. So the fact that what was it, 10,000, almost 10,000 Social Security numbers supposedly got breached in this, like some massive number of like all former employees and stuff too. Like, did you just random generate a number of 10,000 and put them out there? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Erin's staring off into space now because she doesn't have her phone to play video games. next topic, please, Erin.
Yeah,
next
she's
topic.
Not happy. She's not
well,
into this.
I mean, I could
stuff.
Add something. I mean. I'll take the next topic here is, you know, we're talking about Sony,
Segway.
Stop it.
Just say
it. Really stop it. So, you know, they're talking about possibly Spider-Man.
Yes.
Finally getting moved into the Marvel world. But then I'm hearing that Andrew Garfield is probably out.
I don't think I like that.
I don't like it at all.
I can do without Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
Never.
If you lose Emma Stone anyways.
And then they're talking about...
Well, I mean, you probably have to lose Emma Stone.
Well,
and now the thing
comic,
I'm hearing is
comic
that they're talking about things. Bringing Tobey Maguire back.
No, that one I'm
That's
not
That's a
okay
poor
with.
Choice.
Yeah.
That is I would definitely go with Andrew Garfield in the fray.
I mean, unless they're going for a more mature Spider-Man.
That would be the idea because you're looking at Garfield does have the more set of the newer Spider-Man comics where he's really
young.
Back kind of in high school again, that that younger setting.
I miss the old Peter Parker where he's married.
There is the comic world for a long time there when it was very up in its height in the late 90s and stuff. Yeah, he was getting married to Mary Jane. Like, he was
I
older.
Feel like
he
that
had
was
job.
The best.
And
series.
In the Marvel universe, I think that Spider-Man does fit better. Do I want it to be Tobey Maguire, though? No.
Oh, hell no.
Is Andrew Garfield a better Spider-Man? Yeah. can I be fine without Andrew Garfield being there? You know, if you don't give me the chemistry of Emma Stone in him, then yeah, I'll deal with it. If you cast Emma Stone in the movie, you better put Andrew Garfield in
it
too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm going to trust Marvel. They're going to get somebody good.
Yeah.
I don't think they would take Maguire just for fun. So it has to fit the movie that they're trying to make. And certainly we know that they have a very solid universe over there.
You would think the Maguire thing would be rumors anyways, because you would think Marvel would want to say, we're not tied to this Sony universe, so we want to start with the fresh Spider-Man anyways. So you would think if you're going to drop
Then
Garfield,
I'd rather it be really fresh and not this guy who's already played Spider-Man.
That's what I'm saying. So you would think that would be a rumor, because you would hope they would go that direction with it. We have Thumper, our dog.
We don't have Tyler here, so we have dogs.
Yeah, making
breathing,
noise.
Deep breathing near the microphones.
We'll blame it on the dogs. but so taking a few steps back with that, though, there was spring time. There were some high up Marvel executives who hinted at the fact that there would be some big news around Spider-Man.
Oh,
never
right.
came to blossom. It was a lot of that was just rumor or whatever. And then now this comes around, mm-hmm. supposedly with the leaks, all this stuff that had been being discussed and stuff. So possibly another case to validate the Sony stuff is real, while at the same time it does have the Marvel the comic book fans just chomping at the bit right now to get Spider-Man in. Because if you're going the Civil War direction, yeah. Spider-Man is a significant player.
Oh,
in
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So he's somebody you could definitely use for that.
So wait, hold on. I'm excited because I want to do a casting call right now. Like, were you guys not just thinking about, oh, if I could cast the new Spider-Man, who would you pick?
Wow. Okay. That's a good thing. Don't, right there. Yeah. You did a good job.
Good thing.
I
Tyler,
avoided the
Tyler's
word.
Not here to like.
I avoided the word.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Just,
so Aaron.
Tyler just swore without realizing why he did it. So wherever he's at.
Tyler right now somewhere goes.
He just
goes,
felt a stab in his heart. An
uneasy
he doesn't know why.
Feeling in my heart right now.
There's a disturbance in the force.
So who are you putting in that role, Aaron?
I don't know, but I'm excited to think about it.
So Bob. Mm.
Thinking. I want to hear what you guys think.
Oh, man.
Obviously it has to be somebody who's not in a position of any kind in a Marvel movie.
Can
already.
Be Chris Evans.
Ah, no,
shit. Even though he's in every other comic book
Damn
movie.
Damn it.
Well, he'll be in this one.
He would
right.
be, no, I mean, I guess he's a little bit swole.
I don't know. It's hard to, like, it's hard because if there's any, when I look at characters, Andrew Garfield's that. He's the Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. He's the, the one that you may not have expected up front, but ended up being perfectly cast for that character.
I mean, you may have said something right there. Keanu Reeves is Spider-Man.
Is Spider-Man?
No.
Ooh, we're going for a mature one, though.
We're going for a mature.
We're going for mature. I think he's a little too mature, though.
Yeah.
Right, he's not funny enough.
Well,
he's 53 now?
Tom Hardy?
too small. Damn it. Go no, back to like
first of all,
1999.
Keanu,
Tom
you mentioned
Hardy,
Keanu's
maybe something.
Age, but he looks younger than he used to. Mm-hmm. So.
He does. That's creepy.
Oh, it's so creepy.
That guy,
he has got a picture in somebody's attic somewhere.
That you know, the movie Death well Becomes Her. He got the potion. Okay.
Picture Dorian Gray.
So who are we who are we putting in then as Spider-Man? Who are we?
Han Solo. Oh shit, that just slipped out too.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah. He's a little too
okay.
old.
I
mean, first of all,
you complain about my choice.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a dream cast. Let's pretend like it could be any actor at any given time.
So you shoot down ours, but it can be any actor for your suggestion.
Okay.
Including
real.
Someone
about,
who lived
about,
in a galaxy a
how about
long time
Ryan Gosling?
Far, far away.
How about Ryan Gosling?
I could
see that. It wouldn't be my necessarily choice, but
no?
I wouldn't be angry about
no.
it.
No.
I could
he
see
would be
it.
Good. Yeah, I'm saying no, like, you're right.
Okay. Like, no, he would right, not yeah. be somebody I'd be like, hey, let's put him in that role. But if they were like,
I mean,
oh, Ryan Gosling's going to play Spider-Man, and I went and saw it, I could probably say, yeah, he'll do it.
You could
do
keep Emma Stone. They've got good chemistry.
I mean, they were actually, there yeah, there you go. Yeah, because they were originally talking Ryan Gosling for Suicide Squad, I heard, at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I mean, he's not that good of an actor, but he would look the part exactly, and he sounds like it too.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, nope, you're not even going to guess.
Antonio Banderas.
He might not do it because it might not be clean enough for him.
Who? Are you going to say or no?
Kirk Cameron. He sounds just like him, and he would look just like a perfect
his
one.
New movie is now the worst movie, according to IMDb's bottom line.
I mean, he probably, he's not that good of an actor, but Christmas. He really would be a good Spider-Man.
No, he would want too much religion issues into the...
He wouldn't actually ask for any religion in it, but he definitely wouldn't kiss Mary
does.
Jane.
That's all he does anymore. That's all he does anymore. All
right, so who else
That's
are we
true.
Cast? Who else are we
you
cast?
You got my choice.
So we got a Ryan Gosling. We got Aaron's crazy answers.
It's
Adam,
perfect.
Are
I'm bringing
you
him back like
phones?
John Travolta from the 90s.
I had to look up his name. Gary Gustin.
Give us some
Grant
background.
Gustin, sorry, Grant Gustin. He plays
Flash.
The Flash. He's the new Flash. Young guy, funny.
Stephen Amell.
Yeah, too big. He's too.
But Grant Gustin's wide. Like that's the number one show on the CW.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they're going to move him off of that.
Well,
to play Spider-Man.
We want a
Marvel's got deep
size
pockets,
person.
Buddy.
Well, since they recast the Flash in the movie version.
Mm-hmm.
DC, yeah.
Yeah, he might. He could feel snubbed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you want to take over a franchise. If Marvel comes knocking and says, hey, by the way, we want you to be Spider-Man. I love the CW DC TV shows, but I don't know if I'm staying there and not taking the ridiculous amount of money that Marvel's got to throw around. I like him because he's young, but he looks like he could be out of college.
Yeah.
So he is more mature than a teenager.
Here's a good one. And because he was in Godzilla, he seemed a little bit older. Aaron Johnson? Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
You could see him as Spider-Man?
Is it?
I could see that.
Winner, chicken dinner.
You know, if I was to say his name, I just watched Godzilla this past week. So if I hadn't seen that, I might think he would come in as the Andrew Garfield too young. But he played a more mature role in Godzilla.
He did a good job in Godzilla. He did a really good job in Savages.
That's right. And he's...
Where he played that.
Oh, but he's in... never mind, he can't be, because he's playing...
He's Quicksilver.
He's playing Quicksilver. Never mind. Just
what
kidding.
About Taylor Kitt? Was it Kish?
No. Kish? No, not even funny, dude.
Yeah.
Not
even.
He was not
I
so good
love
in Savages.
Battleship.
We're cutting that part, by the way. Gosh, yeah, that's a tough one. So we definitely need your opinion on this. So let us know in the comments, of course, as always. Who would you pick as Spider-Man in the new Marvel movies?
Idris Elba.
Yes.
No, it's funny. We were just talking about that earlier. I was like, he should be in everything. But he's technically already cast in the Marvel Universe, too, though.
Who is he?
Yeah.
He's in the Thor movies.
Thor.
Oh, yeah. Hamdel.
Yeah, Hamdel. Thank you.
He's the guard of the Rainbow Road.
No, he actually guards the gate, but the road's just on the other side of
the Bifrost.
Oh, this is a good one. So, Empire. Mario Empire God. Online has a list of 10 people of who would you cast for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is based off the recent news or if this was when they rebooted originally. Jim Sturgis.
No. He's not. I think he's too traditionally good looking.
Put some glasses on him. Give him a funny haircut.
What's the next one?
They had Zac Efron on the list, which he's a good
that's
actor.
Interesting.
He's a good actor, but I see him too as the Andrew. He's too young. He doesn't give me the mature Spider-Man thing.
I also think he looks too much like a girl.
Okay. He could pull off end of college age, though. Like, I mean, in that run, we're not talking about a 40-year-old Spider-Man.
Oh, what about
he was just old enough to be getting married.
That's true, yeah.
Which could be very easily out, you know, just out of college. 22, 23, 24.
I have no respect for Empire's List. They've had some pretty terrible actors on here. just in some pretty boy faces. But the one that I do like, and that he almost was cast for it, and almost cast forward in the second Spider-Man when Tobey Maguire had a scheduling conflict, is his evil twin, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I threw that name out earlier. I could totally buy into bringing him in as a Spider-Man.
I could see him.
Totally. Yeah.
I could see
him. Better Spider-Man.
I think he's a better actor than Tobey Maguire.
And he can do the action better as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's done more of it.
Aaron Johnson's on their list, but as mentioned previously, he will be Quicksilver.
He's busy.
I had everybody on the hook with that one. We were excited for that one, and then we're like, oh, yeah, he's already going to be in that movie or in that.
Wait, which series Quicksilver is he, though?
No, he's in the Marvel one.
Oh, he's in the Marvel one?
Yeah. Yeah, because him and, what's her name, the Olsen sister.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Because they're both in Godzilla together, and they play the siblings, the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
And they're married in Godzilla. Yeah, it was really, it's creepy. It's creepy.
In another life, we
might
have been married.
Man, now I can't watch Godzilla anymore.
You don't want to watch it anymore anyways.
I enjoyed it.
I sold that as quick as I watched it.
No.
It was terrible.
I enjoyed it going back, because we talked about it that Black Friday.
Yep, that's why I got it on sale.
We both picked up Black Friday for $8, Iggy and I did, and we both had in our hand Edge of Tomorrow as well, for $8 as well, and we're like, what should I get? Got Godzilla, because we both ended up buying, because neither of us had seen it, and probably would have rather have gotten Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, and this was on separate occasions, by the way, because if we were there together, we would have better planned that to where mm-hmm. one of us would have gotten each.
Yeah.
But it definitely was separately. So I watched Godzilla. I finally watched it this past weekend. And I was kind of annoyed the whole time, really. It was just not that good of a movie. I just didn't think it was good at all.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Aaron Johnson, whatever. It was just awful.
I don't think he was terrible in it.
He
wasn't great, but I think that spoke to everybody.
He looked like he was so bored.
I think the directing was terrible.
His character
it's Godzilla.
Doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah.
That was the only thing that kept me out of it was like, how does he end up
everywhere?
Like,
everywhere.
Why?
Yeah, this Godzilla.
He's
got
a tracking
system.
I don't care. This Navy guy does not walk up to a bunch of Army guys and all of a sudden get on a ship get on a plane with no approval from anybody else. Like, anybody who's had to travel with the military, even Army guys can't walk up to a plane and get approval to travel on an Army plane.
Well, not even that. Well, one, you're talking about giant monsters.
No, it was the war. That's totally legitimate.
Like,
because every single person would have been called to action and they would have had their military IDs.
That's a good point. But the other thing, too, is I don't care. You're a lieutenant. You don't talk to the high. I understand some of the people he was talking to were enlisted.
Yeah.
They're the highest possible ranking of enlisted, though. I don't care if you're a lieutenant. You don't talk to him the way he talked to them. Like,
yeah.
They would have knocked him out. Like,
he was just a master sergeant. I mean, it's not like it was a big deal.
Oh, okay.
Especially when he was pulling rank. He wasn't being disrespectful. He was just saying, hey, I'm the boss here.
You don't... You should know this, Aaron. In the military, if you're a low-ranking officer, you don't pull that officer rank over a high-ranking enlisted. It just doesn't work that way. You will get reprimanded. But I don't know. The movie, I just thought, yeah, he wasn't... I didn't think he was terrible. I felt at times it wasn't great, but I felt like the directing was just so bad that nobody sold me on it. Bryan Cranston was the only one, and I felt like he was too over the top even
yeah.
at times. But
yeah, but yeah, he was batshit crazy on
yeah.
that one.
I mean, so, I don't know. But that was Godzilla, and I would hope most people have seen that by now and
spoilers.
Have formed their own opinion on it. Well, not so much. I don't think we've really spoiled anything.
No,
there's giant monsters in it, guys. Oh, no, spoilers. I just think it was negative a movie. Anyway, so, again, if you have an idea for who should play Spider-Man, we've made some suggestions. I'm sticking with Jake Gyllenhaal now that I can't have Aaron Johnson. The Flash.
Grant Gustin.
Ryan Gosling over here from Bob. And Aaron, everybody from Harrison Ford to...
Not Harrison Ford.
Han Solo.
To
who else? Who did you actually end up with? Like you
I said Kirk Cameron, but that's
the
only one.
Kirk
and
Cameron.
Honestly,
everybody
the only
from
reason,
Han Solo to
I feel
Kirk
so
Cameron.
Good about my choice now.
The only reason I could say Kirk Cameron is because, you know, when you think of the cartoon voice, I can hear that voice and I can see Kirk Cameron's face.
Okay. So, speaking of movies, since we talk a lot about movies anyways, because we're all movie obsessed. Critics' Choice Awards nominees dropped this week.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about that, too, before we started recording. 13 nods for Birdman. 11.
I really need to see that
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
11 for Grand Budapest Hotel. Something, and
movie.
We said it on the podcast earlier, I think before the summer movie season started. So sometime, I can't give you an exact episode, but sometime in season 3 there. Season 3 of The Search for season 2. We mentioned Grand Budapest will probably get lost in the mix, because we're talking about Wes Anderson's rise with Moonrise Kingdom was finally his one that got him that award recognition, and we didn't think Grand Budapest would. even though I think the majority of us in this room feel Grand Budapest is a better movie. I think it's a better movie than
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But it's not getting lost. It's not actually not even just getting lost. It's
11 nods.
Yeah, it's getting
pretty good.
Yeah. But it also has spent this past weekend winning. It won, I don't remember what exactly it won, but whatever award show was this past weekend, it won Best Picture. It's getting a lot of tops on the Critics' Choice
list.
It's
on several nominations for Golden Globes.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's really catching the buzz.
So Project Nerd will be releasing a list of our 10 best movies of the year. I think everybody on staff will be putting together a list. We'll be compiling it point system style to give you who the best are. I would feel, based just by the muscle we have in this room for that list, Grand Budapest will definitely make that list. I don't know if
top 10 for sure. Yeah,
I don't know if enough of the staff has seen Birdman though, to make sure it's on there. I would assume it's going to make top 10, but I mean high enough up. I guess.
Brandon has a really good review on Project Nerd.
Yep.
Just so you know,
it's funny because I haven't seen it, and based on the review, I want to put it in my top 10.
Yeah. Right. Well, put it in your top 10 then.
Well, I'm looking at the list of nominees right now for the Critics'
Choice Awards.
Yeah. I mean, if I could find it again. Here we go. Yeah. Birdman, Boyhood, which is getting a lot of.
So is this Best Picture we're talking
about? These are Best Picture.
Okay.
And they do like 10 nominees. So it's Birdman, Boyhood, Gone Girl, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Nightcrawler, which is really kind of surprising because it's such a bizarre film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jake Gyllenhaal's getting
our future Spider-Man.
Uh-huh. He's getting several nominations for Best Actor. He got a SAG Award nomination, and he got nominated for a Golden Globe. Selma, which I don't know if you've got.
That's picking up steam everywhere.
Man, I saw that preview. That is a pretty intense movie.
I haven't even seen the preview. I need to check that out.
That's something you definitely got to see. It looks amazing. The Theory of Everything. Now,
good.
You saw that.
Good movie.
Unbroken, that Angelina Jolie, that spoiled brat movie, Unbroken.
The one she directed, right?
The one she directed.
Yeah, directorial.
And Whiplash. Which is just still playing in just, you know.
No, The Interview, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ninja Turtles. No. Actually, I'm surprised though. I'm not surprised that Chef didn't get in there, but there seemed to be, we talked about a lot of other movies.
Mm-hmm.
The Critics' Choice Award, this would be the one where you would see a movie like Frank sneak in.
Yeah.
And it didn't. This would be.
This is a really good precursor for Oscar.
Yeah. We're not going to see, you're not going to see Frank in the Oscar noms.
No.
You're not going to see it in the Golden Globes. But when you get into these Critic Choice ones and even some of the guilds, just the Actors Guild, but some of the guilds, that's where you might see something like that sneak in. So I'm kind of shocked to not see that get any love so far either in these early ones.
Yeah, it's actually nominated in one of the lower categories, I think, for Jon Favreau.
Chef, yeah.
Yeah. Best Actor, Benedict Cumberbatch for Imitation Game, Ralph Fiennes for Grand Budapest Hotel. That's kind of surprising.
I don't know. He was pretty... I
just thought there were a lot better performances.
Yeah,
out there.
I don't think it,
Jake
I mean,
Gyllenhaal,
it was good, but it
Nightcrawler,
wasn't that crazy.
Michael Keaton for Birdman, David Oyelowo for Selma, and Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything.
So the
Redmayne was good.
The Birdman one, the Michael Keaton, this is the one where a lot of people are this is where they've seen the people who've seen that movie and stuff. This is Keaton's time. This is where he's finally getting his.
It's time to get
his due. Yeah, that's that. And it's funny that it's the same year that Birdman comes out as the year that everything with this Batman stuff's coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Keaton's kind of like saying, screw you guys, I'm Batman. Like, I don't know. So if y'all didn't see that, the article
I just saw that this
week, and Aaron's kind of looking blankly. So the article this week was questions about, I'm just using you as a means to explain this. And, Michael Keaton was asked about Ben Affleck as Batman being cast as the older Batman. And I don't know, was the question even like, was he not why wasn't he, or is he jealous of it? Or,
right.
And then stuff about how Christopher Nolan's Batman's with Christian Bale is considered like it's considered the bar now. Like
right.
That's the
definitive series.
And Michael Keaton's response is simple enough as, I mean, there was a lot more to it, but it basically sums down to, no, I was the original Batman. I'm Batman, whatever. Like, not even worried about it. So,
yeah.
He's also Birdman.
But Batman and Batman Returns, oh, man, I mean, that got me into superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, those are the movies that I saw as a kid that I was like, dude, I want to be... Where does he get those wonderful toys? Like, me and the Joker were on the same page. And then I was like, how can I get my hands on all of this stuff? Because I wanted it. And it... So, I'm with Michael Keaton. Yeah. Like, the Christian Bale movies are phenomenal. Obviously, Christopher Nolan does an amazing job. But, yeah, he's Batman. Yeah,
I don't know.
It doesn't change any of it.
And I'm not saying it just because it's in the hype and I'm in that moment right now. But I do think that Christian Bale and the Christopher Nolan movie set the bar for Batman. I love Michael Keaton as Batman. Again, I was the same boat as you. I was the right age. I was a child when it came out. I was already a huge Batman fan. You had the animated series. I was in the comics too, all that stuff. So it was perfect for me. But when I look at it from the origin, it's Nolan stuff's based more around the Frank Miller stuff,
which I
love.
He's got the better story.
Nolan's done better. Mm-hmm. But I think also Bale, like he, as annoying and funny as it would be at times, he did, you know, the voice thing to mask his voice.
Yeah.
He did the parts. He had to play the drunk Bruce Wayne, the stuff like that. I mean, he played, I think, the parts better than Keaton did. Yeah.
There was more depth to
that. Thank you. That's a better way to put it.
No, when they're sitting in there in that...
But I would say, the best scene out of any Batman, Nolan or Burton or whatever... is in Batman Returns with Selina Kyle and him dancing.
Yeah.
That whole sequence just gave me chills.
There's probably a handful of the best sequences for any Batman movie are from Batman Returns.
Yeah.
And they all involve Selina Kyle Michelle Pfeiffer.
Definitely. That first movie had some amazing scenes
where
Michael Keaton was playing Bruce Wayne, not Batman, but playing Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, what's her name? Kim Basinger and
Jack Nicholson?
No, not Albert Brooks.
Talk to me.
He played the reporter. I can't remember
his
name
now. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
They're
standing
in front of this big giant mirror, and they're talking about it, and he shows up, and he goes, oh, well, where'd you get it? Or he goes, where is this? You know, they're making fun of all these giant statues. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, it's from Polynesia. How do you know that? He goes, or it's Taiwanese. He goes, how do you know that? Goes, I bought it in Taiwan. Oh, yeah, I'm Bruce Wayne. How's it going?
Yeah.
Like, and then he has dinner with Kim Basinger. They're at the giant table, and they're shouting back and forth. And, you know, I don't think I've ever been in this room.
Aaron, who's your Batman of choice?
Obviously Michael Keaton.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I was born and bred on. Like, you know, I've mentioned it before on
the
podcast.
You were bred on Michael Keaton?
Yes. Oh, geez.
Conceived?
Michael Keaton sandwich.
That sounds strange because it's like he's my father.
My parents met Michael Keaton one night and I was born and bred on him.
Things got weird.
No, but I've mentioned it before on the podcast that the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater when I was like 4.5, 5 was, just gave away my age there. No, it was the original Batman with Michael Keaton, the 1989 Batman.
You didn't really give away your age because you didn't even know what it was because you had numbers.
4, 5, 7,
so,
who knows.
So, Bob, you kind of, I think you alluded to agree with me, but who is your Batman pick, like, since we're talking about it? He's got a Joker smile on his face right now as he's thinking.
I mean, it's
it.
So tough. I mean, it's... Bale Keaton.
He's gonna pick Clooney.
Don't tell me. And I really liked Val Kilmer.
No, you didn't.
He had a good Batman.
You know,
Kilmer was better than Clooney.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
I gotta go Keaton.
I gotta go Keaton. As much as I like Bale.
Nobody picked Adam West.
You know, the thing about with Bale, I like the villains probably more than I liked Bale.
Yeah. I would totally agree. It's a Batman story.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
But you know his villain.
But seriously, you Keaton over Nicholson? You didn't like the villain better in Batman than Batman himself too? So DeVito and Pfeiffer, like, I mean, even those two, like, your villains are better
Batman
than
has
his Batman.
The better, Batman has the best villains.
Yeah, I know,
for sure,
the best. Yeah.
Better than anything Marvel can produce either.
I would
on the villain side.
Oh yeah,
on the villain side, dude.
On the villain side, true.
Batman carries the load.
I like Keaton as the better Batman. The Dark Knight trilogy as the better stories, for sure.
For movies, for sure.
Director between the first two Batmans and Christopher Nolan, probably. I'd toss that between Tim Burton and Christopher Nolan. I like me some Tim Burton, so.
Just the style of
Burton. Burton set the right. Burton had it a more comic book style,
Right.
Like, that's a Batman from the comic books.
That was not a Catwoman.
Shoemaker got a little too over the top with it, and it just became crazy.
With him, it was all color and style. And
style over substance was the best way to put it. With Nolan, it was more of, this is if Batman were real, this is how it would be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you get, it's hard to say, like, Nolan versus Burton there, because it's two very different worlds of Batman.
And they didn't try to do the same thing,
Yeah, there was, yeah, exactly. It wasn't the same there. The question will be, is what happens here with Zack Snyder, because he will try, if he's going in the direction that seems to be going, he'll try to marry the best of both worlds there, the comic and Batman being real, following even more faithfully to Frank Miller's story. I'm excited for Ben Affleck's Batman. I never was that angry at first. I think when we talked about it originally, when the first came out last, going back to spring again,
I was excited then, and I'm more excited now.
I was probably, I can't say I was the least angry in the room, because I know Aaron wasn't angry either, but I'm not disappointed in that pick, and especially when I'm seeing that, come together, and the fact that he wore the Batfleck shirt, like, that right there sold it for me.
He's so good. First of all, I used to hate Ben Affleck. I hated him. Like, in his role Bounce, I just about vomited in my mouth.
That's the problem. Well, you watched Bounce.
What did
you think of him in Jiggly?
I didn't watch that movie. The movie, let's go with Pearl Harbor, when he, was supposedly good.
Hated it.
No, he just, he got so good. He suddenly, it's like Will Smith. Will Smith used to suck.
You know what was wrong with Pearl Harbor?
Whoa.
And then he got back, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
actor. Will Smith will admit to being terrible at acting, because he sits there and mouths the lines of everybody else in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Or Adam Sandler, too. He also improved. I know that his movies aren't the best.
He's definitely not, the improvement gauge is not as the other gentleman you're talking about.
No, but you know what I mean. Just because they sucked when they were younger does not mean that they will always suck. And Ben Affleck is someone who has worked his ass off to get better at acting, and he has gotten hotter, too. He's, huge.
Oh, that Ben Affleck,
sexy.
He's so hot right now.
I would say, without saying that he got hotter, I will say that Ben Affleck, he has matured as a, his look. Yeah.
He doesn't look like a scrawny. Yeah.
He's
matured
like
a DiCaprio. Fine wine.
There you go.
They grew up, and they got not scrawny anymore. I'm sorry. I really like Ben Affleck now.
I can tell.
Really excited about this.
Somebody's kind of...
Aaron's watching The Town tonight.
I think he will be the best Batman.
The Town,
not let me
know. The Town might have been what... Well, he was great in Good Will. I never had a problem with his acting in the first place. You mentioned roles that he was bad in.
Bad movies.
Yeah. Look who's directing.
Awful movies, yeah.
Michael Bay doesn't know how to direct anybody unless it's an explosion. That's the only thing he knows how to
giant
do.
Giant robot.
Yeah, a giant robot.
But he...
That's even questionable.
I take it back.
Del Toro even did a
back.
Better job than he did with robots.
Del Toro's an amazing director.
He got better at acting then, because he started maybe studying directing and things.
That's probably true, seeing it from the other side.
Because he directs himself now.
But you have to look at his early stuff. You talk about the movies. They were smaller, low-budget movies, bad directing. Then you talk about Pearl Harbor. Just Michael Bay is a disaster. And you look at Kevin Smith, and I love Kevin Smith to death. And Aaron, I know you feel differently than the rest of us do, but Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck are buds. How hard are you going to really be on the guy on set when he's already is starting to establish himself as a name in your movies, and you're just this guy who's like, hey friend Ben Affleck, come just do this role in my movie. And probably he in the type of roles he did in most of those movies, not Chasing Amy, but the other one.
I was saying, I like Chasing Amy.
It's like a weekend shoot. Like the amount he's in Mallrats, like
Jersey
he was
Girl.
On set for a weekend.
Jersey Girl. Oh.
Jersey Girl's not a good movie, but Ben Affleck's good in that. He's not bad.
I wonder if it's because he had more creative license. Because what's it?
Jersey Girl? By that, I think Kevin Smith had also matured quite a bit. And honestly, to be 100% honest, Kevin Smith did Jersey Girl for himself and nobody else liked it, so it showed.
Yeah. Right.
But I think to him, Jersey Girl was a big deal when he made that movie. He wanted it to be different than everything else. And that was the first time he stepped away, because now Kevin Smith, to him, is, I want to do all these movies that I don't typically do. And that was the first one. And so with that, I think it was a big deal to him, and he put more heart into it, I guess is a better way to explain it. So as much as nobody liked it, and I think the reason people didn't like it is because that wasn't a Kevin Smith movie. That was a chick flick.
It wasn't the quote-unquote Kevin Smith movie,
it's not a View Askew
movie. I didn't hear quotes there, everybody.
Ben Affleck, again, not bad in it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to bounce back to that the critics list, because there's some really interesting nominees, and I'm going to see what you guys think about it.
I forgot what
we're still on
about
the critics
that.
List. Yeah. Ben okay. Affleck, Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's not nominated, so there. Best Actress, Reese Witherspoon for Wild, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything.
How did Rosamund Pike get nominated? She's gone in the Gone Girl.
Oh.
What? I'm just
Marion.
She took some really good pictures, though. Oh, those headshots are phenomenal, bro.
Marion Cotillard for 2 days and one night, and she was nominated for Golden Globe, SAG Award. Jennifer Aniston for Cake.
Really?
Yeah, she. There's a lot of buzz
Reese
going on in
Witherspoon
Hollywood.
And Jennifer Aniston both Aniston. On that list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I understand Reese Witherspoon is. Did she win? She was nominated before, but did
she won?
Win?
She won for Walk the Line.
Yeah.
She's not a good actress. She is not a.
She can play a lady from the South.
Yeah, she does that real well.
Yeah. Walk the Line.
But Jennifer Aniston, her character, I guess she's like.
Still shouldn't have won Best Actress that year. I love Walk the Line. She shouldn't have won Best Actress that year.
Yeah, that was kind of a. But she plays like a woman addicted to pain medication.
Jennifer Aniston.
She's got a huge scar across her face. Definitely the uglying down to make her more of a serious actress. But yeah, she's getting some really good reviews for this.
She's, you know, that's another one you go to. She's just never been in the right movie for it, but she's not a terrible actress at all. Yeah. Like there's never been
We're the Millers.
Yeah.
Like, she's great in that movie.
There's never been a moment where I've just said, Jennifer Aniston just really can't act.
Leprechaun.
But there's been tons of moments where you're just like, wow, does Jennifer Aniston only do these types of movies? Like, yes. You know? So that's one of those things where you talk about a great actor to bring that up is Jim Carrey. Like, Jim Carrey can act, circles around
Man
a lot
of
people.
Truman Show.
But he's just never been in those types of movies. And he's done a couple that are close, but he's never been in that movie that's just going to sweep the awards.
Well,
season
he got screwed, I think, with Man on the Moon. That was such
that's true.
Great I really want him
true.
To, like,
yeah.
take, like, 3 or 4 years off and come back and just rock a Tarantino movie. Mm-hmm. Like,
he could do it.
Hardcore, like,
he could
intense.
Do it.
Intense.
Yeah. Here's supporting actor nominee. Josh Brolin for Inherent Vice, Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
There's Foxcatcher.
I'm surprised we hadn't seen more about it.
Wait a second. I'm going back. Steve Carell was not nominated for Foxcatcher, and that was one that there was a lot of buzz for.
Well, there's a lot of buzz for Foxcatcher from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't heard a lot of it since it's been... More
it,
in
it, but it didn't. Lost, it didn't get a full release.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It supposedly got released back in November. It just. I don't know. I think there was just so much hype at the very beginning, and it just kind of got overwhelmed by like Theory of Everything and the Initiation Game,
Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Imitation Game.
Imitation. Thank you. Where was I?
Can I point out though, as we're getting ready to go into another category. This year seems to, so I feel like the past few years, we've gone back into, oh, these are the nominees, everybody's seen them. These are type of, I don't want to say mainstream movies, but they're movies that have gotten wide releases, everybody's familiar with. Like, you can go to those, like, you talk about, like, look at the 10 from last year, most of those. We're kind of, it sounds like with what we're getting in these early awards, these nominees, are going back to movies that didn't get wide releases, or people are
that's
like,
because these
what are these?
Like, that's because these are critic awards. You know, because the critics are always looking for those small little
But I would say moves. Even the past few years for critic awards, it's been more...
But once you get to the Oscars, those are being voted by actors, actresses. I mean, there may not be, like, little nitpick. That's the Independent Spirit Awards. That's the small...
I don't know. I think... Because we went for a good run there with the Oscars, too, where we were getting stuff like, here's this fourth and fifth Best Picture nominee that, like, nobody knows what we're talking about.
Like The Descendants.
I think The Descendants was...
That got a wide release.
And that's still falling, I think, in the past 3 or 4 years, where I feel like, as we've expanded this play, we're talking about movies that have gotten the, like...
Yeah.
People know what's going on with them,
I'm looking at this list. I mean, the one that most people probably don't know about is Whiplash.
I don't know about it.
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, that's the one about the jazz drummer.
You know about that one?
Oh, yeah. That looks...
J.K. Simmons is like this... like the evil teacher and just...
Still don't know about it.
I don't even know who J.K. Simmons is.
I need to show you the trailer because, good Lord.
He was, what's his face in Spider-Man? Who is he in Spider-Man? What's that? I forgot.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, wait, he plays a bad guy?
I'll give you $300 for it.
Freelance, best thing you could do.
No, supporting actress.
I like that guy.
Supporting actress Patricia Arquette from Boyhood.
You went with Spider-Man? Well, I guess that's it. He's also in, I mean, he's in a lot of.
He's in a lot
of. It's the biggest
of,
name,
you know?
Right, yeah. It's the biggest name to attach to him, though. Like, yeah. It's the movie most people have seen.
Yeah, it's just, you know. Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Jessica Chastain for The Most Violent Year, Keira Knightley, Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, Meryl Streep for Into the Woods, and Tilda Swinton for Snowpiercer.
Can we get, can everybody get off the Jessica Chastain bandwagon?
Like, no. She's good.
She's fine as an actress, but what has she done that's blown us away to where every movie she's in, she's now nominated for something?
Wow.
Is she at that level, seriously? Like, is she that, she is at the Meryl Streep level?
There is a.
I'm not exaggerating here. You give her, how many movies she's been in that have been in the past so many years, and how many has she walked away with? She walks away with a nominee every year now. Putting her in that,
but
only other person you can say
like three
Meryl
movies a year.
Yeah, wow. I was actually this.
So?
I was actually
Samuel Jackson's in like 10. You don't see him walking away with a nominee every year.
She's in three major studio movies.
I was expecting
a year.
To see her nominated in
Interstellar,
The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby.
She literally is in three movies this year.
Yeah, she
I told
is.
You.
She really is.
I'm sorry, but I just don't. She was. I really liked her in.
Zero Dark Thirty.
No, see, I don't even like Zero
Or The
Dark
Help.
Thing. I really liked her in The Help.
Yeah, she was good in The Help.
She was great in The Help. And that's the one she probably got. She still got nominated and all this, but it was the least one. And it's hard because you had a lot of other great performances in it. But yeah, it's like, she's just like, I'll just do a war movie or a historical movie and then I'll get nominated in everything I do. And it's kind of like, I don't want to knock her as an actress. She's a good actress. But she's not I need to make sure this person's nominated every year type actress. And I'm just being straightforward
with
it.
Is it just because she didn't get the Oscar the year she was nominated for The Help? Is that?
Oh, not when Octavia Spencer was in that movie. Octavia Spencer was amazing.
Well,
in that movie.
I still think
is
that
she getting,
she
are you
was
saying,
better
is she getting
than
like
Octavia
the,
Spencer in that movie.
The
best one in that movie was Viola Davis.
Yeah.
And she won.
No, she didn't.
Oh, no,
she
I'm
lost
sorry.
To Meryl Streep.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
She got snubbed, and I felt like
But
the
Davis
year
won
that,
Best Supporting.
The
no,
year that
Octavia
she
Spencer
won.
Won Best Supporting.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant Octavia. I'm sorry. She won Best Supporting, which Chastain was also nominated for.
Well,
so
and
he had
I
two nominees.
I think Chastain should have won Best Supporting.
I would go with that one. Yeah. I would go Davis and Chastain would have been the ones I would pick for the winning in that. I liked Octavia Spencer's role in it. It was more, but her role was more of the comedic addition to it, I guess.
Well, and I feel like I've seen her play roles like that before. Like she's not
in
she
less
wasn't
serious
extending
movies.
Herself.
Yeah.
It was just.
I tell you, I'm looking at this entire list. The one movie, and I really want to watch. I've seen the preview several times this past week. I need to sit down and watch Boyhood. I have just heard so many good things about that. And honestly, I think that's probably going to be, you know, as much as I think Birdman's going to win. I think Boyhood, because it took like 12 years to make for Robert Linkletter to make that movie.
What?
It basically he
didn't have a lot going on last year.
Yeah, pretty much. He used the same cast and he filmed them every year for 12 years.
What the frick?
As a little kid growing
up.
You
mean he did it intentionally?
Yes.
Ah, oh, sheet.
It's pretty amazing what he did.
What kind of contract do you sign for something like that?
I don't know, but I mean, yeah, the kid, you see the kid basically growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's phenomenal.
$1 billion.
It would have been easier. I didn't mean financial implications, but how do you say,
how do you release?
I want to guarantee that in 12 summers from now, I get you for a month again.
Mm-hmm. That's what film. Basically
like, how do you guarantee that, especially when we're talking actors? Jeez. That are. No, the dogs have been put up. That's just
well, sorry, well, Robert Linkletter.
We're trying to make up for Tyler.
Well,
again.
Robert Linkletter and Ethan Hawke, I mean,
Richard?
They've done the. Oh, sorry, Richard. I'm sorry. Why was. They did the Before Sunset or Before Sunrise or whatever those.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, so they've had that. They movies. Had that relationship. And so, I mean, I know how he got them. So I'm sure he used something else with the rest of the cast.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't
basically.
Know. But it's
but
definitely
it's,
interesting.
It's interesting. I think something like that. I mean, that's one of those little things that's going to kind of push it a little bit more. Saying,
could
you know,
imagine being the little kid in that movie and like, oh, I'm in a movie, I promise. And people are like, whatever.
Whatever. No, I'm I have to go act for a movie this
summer.
That whatever,
kid,
dude.
Can that
I
kid
see
got
it?
Shoved into lockers his whole life.
And finally, when he's 18, he's like, guys, look, look. Is he calling them all back up? Like,
I would.
Hey, guys.
Have a little notebook.
Hey, can we have a one-year high school reunion? Can we have a one-year?
Send all of them copies of the DVD.
There's a screener.
That's how he hooked them. Yeah. That's how he hooked them. Sir, I will sign a 12-year contract with you as long as you guarantee I have enough DVD copies to send to everybody that doubts me for the next 12 years on this. That's what this. That's how they got the kid in there.
Because you know he doubters. Wasn't getting any roles. I mean, you don't have anything to put on a resume.
Well, like. Ethan Hawke did.
He's you could also have like, I mean, can I use this clip for my what do you call it?
My college entry.
Well, not even my my footage that whatever. I'm
resume?
Not an actor. No, they have their. A footage reel.
Is that a real thing?
Do you write your own jokes?
That was a good pun.
That makes me happy.
So anyway, the awards I think this year are going to be kind of interesting because I don't think anyone knows
who's the clear favorites.
There's no clear
anything?
Favorite
no.
this year.
No, and some that people thought, and we go back to Foxcatcher and stuff like
that
would
surprised
be
Foxcatcher
high
Catcher
up there
doesn't
aren't,
have more...
aren't getting the love, and the ones we thought might get missed this year. Grand Budapest Hotel stuff are getting the love. So, yeah, I think it's definitely up in the air year for sure.
But January, I think it's January 13th or January 15th, Oscar nominations are out.
I'm excited to see what the Theory of Everything does. I'm interested to see how...
It gets nominated for Best Picture.
Well, but I'm interested to
in
see...
In a field of 10.
Right,
sure.
How the Academy handles all that, yeah. Just with it being like, hey, this is a story about... a person who's still alive and still doing things, and
they'll bring him out on stage at the Oscars.
Oh yeah, and I'll cry. That movie had me crying the whole time. That was great.
Aww, poor Adam.
No, it was great, Bob. Loved it.
He enjoyed crying the whole
cathartic.
Time.
Cathartic. You felt relieved afterwards. You had emptied your tear glands.
His tear bladder.
Right in the theater.
His tear I like that. His tear Maybe. Bladder. That is
So what is what else is there to talk about? Hey, The Hobbit opens this weekend.
It's actually open by time this airs.
Yeah,
that's right, because it opened on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and a lot of theaters are doing.
They're doing
Tuesday night, doing the 9-hour marathon.
No, actually, they did it Monday night.
Oh yeah, that's
And then because they're starting their, it's actually. Opening
it's gonna
at 7
take
o'clock
them a whole
on.
Day.
Yeah, because it won't well, be done. If they show the extended cuts, you actually won't get to the third installment until Wednesday, the release date.
Well, I mean, the extended cuts for The Hobbits weren't as long as the extended cuts for the Lord of Rings movies.
I'm still watching them currently.
Oh, do you want me to tell you what happens?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Anytime. But yeah, it's,
anytime.
I mean, actually, it's getting some really good reviews. They say, I mean, time-wise, this is like the shortest... movie of them all. This is only like 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
I mean, you can't stretch it much longer than that.
I was going to say for
Peter Jackson's shortest movie ever.
It is. It really
this is.
Is
what, like five chapters, the last five chapters of the 19-chapter book?
Yeah.
Something like
somewhere
that.
Somewhere around there.
I mean, I'm glad with the way he's done it.
But you just don't like
some
it.
Of his better
so
stuff.
I'm going to move us away from movies for the last part before we close. And this is kind of for Tyler.
Hold on.
He's not
you're
here.
Just trying to steer me off the Peter Jackson hate course. That's
no,
all you're trying
actually,
to do.
Actually, I just
well, we should.
Got up a second ago and looked at our time and we're actually up on time. But I do want to say because Tyler would have made sure this would have been brought up.
Go
so,
Tyler.
So I'm taking care of it for him. But Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom reaches its final episode this past week.
Mm-hmm.
It is another, as Tyler would say, another Sorkin series cut short.
Yeah,
but actually, this was supposedly in a lot of circles considered to be one of his best series. I haven't seen any episodes of it, to be honest. But
well, I've noticed HBO doing a lot of 3-season series. Like if you're doing a,
they cut it at 3. Yeah,
yeah. If you're doing a serious, intense series, other than Game of Thrones.
Other than that, you can make crazy amounts of money for.
Right. Well, yeah they're going to do these things that are well-loved, that people like, that win a lot of awards, but but you're going to get three seasons. And I think that's a good thing.
That's, but that's not the reason, supposedly. This one supposedly had very bad ratings and very was
it just
not,
did do
it
well
was praised audience. By critics. Yeah, but audiences just have not tuned into it. And it's maybe, I don't know, maybe
that's
we're at a point right now where, but that's the thing too. You, that happens sometimes to writers, directors, actors, even. Sorkin's style hasn't changed in four decades now.
Well,
and so as much as somebody who's attached to that, like a Tyler, or I haven't seen all his series. I didn't watch The West Wing. But the stuff I have watched has been good.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, is that what today's audiences want?
That's what I'm wondering. Are we done with political dramas?
No.
You mentioned, well, but what's one that's on TV right now?
Well, maybe on TV, but not in theatrically.
On television,
well,
I think
well,
there's that
the HBO is on TV. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
HBO's not TV.
Political
it's not
drama, Scandal. There you go. There's a political.
Yeah,
drama.
But is that a political? Is that a political drama or is that?
Hey,
it's like
it's a soap opera.
Is it the what's the one? The Good
House
Wife
of Cards.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
What about Veep? Oh, House of Cards.
Yeah,
House of Cards. That's House like of one Cards. Of the highest rated shows right now.
And sure. Chinese people love it.
That's true.
Dynamite drop.
So
no, but I mean. I think you mentioned it earlier with kind of the being fed up with the news cycles. And this is a drama show about that, a 24-hour news mm-hmm. station and the way it handles its news and how it's doing all of that. I think its subject matter, as much as anything, turns people off.
Yeah.
But if they gave it a chance, I think they would probably really respond to what the story is that they're telling.
It's a good point. And to be honest, the other thing too is I think right now is when you, if you're investing your time to head over to HBO Go or watch something from HBO, they're producing a number of great, and not only HBO, there's a lot of dramas that are getting very high praise,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
critical acclaim right now on top of it too, that you said, oh, we've seen this before. We've seen this series before. Why? Or actually, I'm going to go watch House of Cards, which is even better, and it's a political
right.
drama. So if I'm going to invest time in a political drama, it's going to be on this one. And then if I'm going to invest time on HBO, it's going to be Game of Thrones, like the 100 billion other people that agree with that.
I just looked it up on...
Yes, there's 100 billion people that watch
number,
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin on IMDb, I thought, when you guys kept talking about Newsroom, I thought you guys were talking about Sports Night. I thought they were the same show.
Oh, Sports
which
Night
is why
fantastic.
Well, that's my point. It might be the same show. It might be.
Exactly.
He's been doing the same thing for so long.
It's just a different office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
one sports one.
But it's, and it's also, yeah, they're talking about 24-hour news instead of sports.
He did A Few Good Men.
I loved, wow. I loved sports.
He wrote A Few Good Men.
I liked Studio 60. The first five episodes or so.
You can't handle the truth.
No, A Few Good Men. Studio 60 was great. It takes a turn midway through the season, and mm-hmm. that's probably why it didn't get picked up for a second season. Because it was actually getting a lot of love the first half of the season. And then when it took the break and came back after the holidays, people didn't tune back in because
they had too many suites.
What I love is how
I
he
have
wrote
too many suites.
Moneyball and The Social Network, and it just goes to show how good of a director David Fincher is, because The Social Network is fantastic, and
yeah. He's
Moneyball.
I really like
wasn't
Moneyball.
That great?
A lot of people do though, and Sorkin. Sorkin is
a
strong writer, but like I said, it's but also too we talk about that. That's something that goes away from his when he's writing a TV show. They all have some. You could connect them all. Like you just thought we were talking about his previous ones with his movies. Those are wildly different things. So those are still popular enough for him. And he's not going anywhere. He's going to continue to write movies and TV
shows.
He'll
get
successful.
Picked up for something else. I'm not
but it's just, Newsroom's cut short. And part of it might be HBO finds that if it's that three season is the magic number, Bored to Death, many other shows do just ran that three season.
But I think Boardwalk Empire kind of had the same thing. It just kind of ran its course, and
but they're at what, five seasons?
They were at five seasons.
Yeah. So is that done now?
It's done.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to finish watching that. We got about halfway through, but all right. So with that, we will close. But there is some homework for you. We need to know who you are casting as Spider-Man if he comes over to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We also need to know who your picks are for the best movies of the year as we talk about some of the Critic Choice Awards, other awards, and the fact that we will be putting together our top 10 list. Not to mention that the Pro Nerd 100 is around the corner in 2015.
That sounds like a NASCAR race.
More to follow.
Oh, dude, can we sponsor a NASCAR race?
No.
Come on.
No. Anyway, so we do want to know what your favorite movies of 2014 were. Still want to know what your favorite movies of 2014 were. Of course, maybe even throw in, why don't we give you a third assignment? What was your favorite thing from Sorkin? Was it Moneyball? Was it Newsroom? Was it
Few Good Men?
The West Wing? I don't know. So social let us know in our comments below.
The correct answer is social.
The post.
Yes.
Our comments on Facebook. Our comments on Podbean. And if you could, well, you can actually give us, if you want to give us a review on iTunes, and then just throw in your answers in the review too. Go for it. Yeah, I don't know if we have any reviews. We don't really talk about the iTunes part, but we are on iTunes. And we do get, I mean, we have a good percentage of our listeners are on iTunes, but I don't know if we have any ratings on there. We should probably look into that. So we might be getting bashed on iTunes and not even know it. So anyways, of course, leave us feedback. Let us know. We definitely want to hear from you as we do every week. All of you fantastic listeners. But that is episode 12 of season 4. We will catch you next week, just right after the holiday, actually. So have a Merry Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess that sounded terrible.
Have a
great Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.